Brian Burkett, Parks.
Julie West, Officer General Counsel.
All right, thank you. The first thing that we'll do is we're going to review a list of the potential 2022 fine projects, which would be presented by Brian Burkett. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to give some handouts real quick. Okay, so what, case, just a refresher, since we did this here, the Florida Inland Navigation District is a grant opportunity to fund waterway improvement projects throughout Jacksonville. It's available to all the participating counties up and down the intercoastal waterway on the Atlantic coast of Florida. Every year we apply for grant funding and have been pretty darn successful over the years, but there are limits to how much they can allocate per county, so we try to not ask for too much, but also make sure we get what should be coming back to us. These, just so you know, these programs are funded by fine through a portion of the ad valorem taxes that they charge all the property owners, and you see that on your taxes. Most of that money goes towards their main mission of maintaining the intercoastal waterway, but portions of that comes back through this grant program for the participating counties. So what I've handed out is a three-page document, and then we'll go into the PowerPoint presentation. The first page of the handout with the yellow and orange spreadsheet are all the active projects that have been funded in recent years, and that's important to understand, because the way to find funds projects is through a two-phased approach. So they'll fund design and permitting phase, and then once you get through your permits and finish your design, then you can apply for the next phase, which is construction. So unless you funded design through another means, you can't ask for construction until you have your permitting documents and the design complete. So it's important to see how projects graduate from design to construction. So make sure that anything that we've already invested in design-wise, we are making sure we've got a slot for that project in a coming year before. I think you have to have construction within 3 years of the design project. So what this sheet shows you is basically, if you look at the 2018 projects, most of those at the end of that row you'll see complete. But there are two projects that don't say complete. One is Liberty Street Basin, the marina project. And that one expired. Go into more details on that one later, but we were not able to complete that project within the allotted time with the allotted money. So that project is still a project that we'd like to move forward, and we'll talk about that one for this year. And then the other project is Riverview Park Boat Ramp. Typically, we get up to 3 years for design. But the permits for this one was not ready by the grant deadline, but fine did offer a special 1 year additional COVID related emergency opportunity to get an extension. So we did qualify for that. They did give us the 1 year extension, which, thankfully we can, that would be, and you'll see that's going to be our number one project to recommend for next year. Cause again, we've already invested in the design on that project, so assuming there's still support for that project, we need to move that one forward in next year's list for construction. And all the other ones you see in 2018, 19, and 20, and 21, those are either construction phase projects or design projects that have been completed and construction funded through another means. So those are the only two that I mentioned, Liberty Street and Riverview, that are kind of needing to move forward by necessity. And then we can get into opportunities, our staff recommendations for the remaining anticipated cap value for the rest of the projects.
May I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Just to clarify, on the Riverview Boat Ramp Park, so we already spent the $168,000 on design, right?
Yes.
Did we actually spend the $990,000 that's here on the sheet for this year?
No, that's what I'm projecting for our request for the construction value.
Okay.
For this coming year.
All right, so this will be for the construction. Design's already done.
Right, it's in its final stages now.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So if you flip to the next page, you'll see the staff recommendations for this year as those top six projects on the list, followed by a list of kind of a pool of projects that have been identified either through the Maritime Management Plan, which we did a few years ago, which assessed all of our waterfront facilities and identified needs and opportunities, as well as other staff recommendations that we've identified in recent years, as well as comments and citizen requests made at either at Waterways Commission or through emails to our office. And so just so you know, this is a list that we maintain throughout the year, so we can, when we get to this stage, we can see what other alternative projects there are to choose from if y'all want to recommend making any changes.
Okay.
So at that, I'd like to move to the PowerPoint presentation, because that will walk us through these recommended projects that you'll see as the top six. So here's just a map that shows the spread of the projects throughout the city. It's always nice to see a spread. That's not always, you know, the goal, but it's nice when that happens. And we've achieved that. So we've got two projects on the Intercoastal Waterway, a couple of, on the downtown, one on Pottsburg Creek, one over on Trout River, and one up on Thomas Creek. So a good spread. And pointing out again, the only construction project is Riverview Park Boat Ramp. All the others would be design phase. So moving into project by project descriptions for each of the staff recommendations, again, number one priority would be Riverview Park Boat Ramp. The design is near completion. We'll get the permits in the coming months. So if we apply this coming spring, anticipate find support for that project since they've funded the design in the past. So again, the awards come out, get announced in late September, early October, and then we can actually bid that one out in probably like January of 2023. So you see how the calendar works. Everything, when you're using grant programs, you got to go off their calendar in order to implement projects. So just a refresher on this one, this is a park that's on the Trout River on the north side of town. It has an existing senior center at the site, as well as a fishing pier you can see on the aerial at the top of the image. There's an informal ball field there for informal play, and there's some picnicking and other recreational opportunities. But this was one that was identified during the Maritime Management Plan process. You know, it was pointed out, while that parking lot goes pretty darn close to the edge of the water, that could be a fairly easy and minimal impact to make a connection to the waterway with a small ramp. And the thought here was, by adding a small single-lane boat ramp, that could take pressure off of some of the other boat ramps in the area. It also provides service on this side of the river, as opposed, because there are other Burt Maxwell's on the other side of the river, kind of serves a different neighborhood and is available for your larger draft boats. The what the Trout Creek in this area is fairly shallow, but again, we see it as small, shallow draft vessels, just to support the small, you know, neighborhood kind of launching that you could anticipate with the fishermen with smaller boats and John boats and such that I think matches the community.
Can I have Captain Super interject? Do you know what the water looks like outside of that boat ramp now? I mean,
pretty full right now, but because we got high tides, but it's not it's gradual. Slope. We went out there on the boat and checked it with the engineers and everything, and it's really going to be designed for basically what that area of the neighborhood pretty well caters to anyway, is a smaller fishing boats, kayaks, canoes, things like that, and it's an area that is going to be well served. That the community will be able to use.
I've seen a lot of boats just in that neighborhood parked right near there. So what you're telling me is we're not going to have a turnaround and have another Burt Maxwell. We're going to have to keep dredging it, you don't think?
No, because I don't think we're dredging this. We're just, it's going to be what it is.
It is what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, there wouldn't be any maintenance dredging, and if anything, with boat traffic use, it might actually, you know.
Yeah, that's a great one. Thank you. Go ahead.
And just another aside comment for this particular park, the fishing pier, which is just to the east of the proposed ramp location, that's been talked about a few times in waterways about not being ADA compliant, and that is something we're working on internally. So rather than pursuing a fine grant, which, you know, would delay this by, you know, a whole year, we're working through other means to get that done. And so along with the boat ramp, you'll see modifications to the parking lot. It'll be a turnaround area to have the radius of the boat, cars with trailers can navigate through there. And then the addition of, I believe it's 6 trailer spaces there. We are somewhat limited because of wetlands and also by the manatee protection plan on how many trailer spaces we can offer at this site. But again, being a single lane neighborhood launch, I think that would be, you know, appropriate for. Have any other questions about this one?
No. Do you, Commissioner Barker?
Two. So overflow, not really anticipated as far as the trailers. You know how they can get in Mayport sometimes. And then secondarily, just as far as serving the neighborhood, this the projections that we have kind of match what we're providing. We're not coming up with some kind of mismatch here.
No, we think this matches well. Again, this is supplementing some of the other ramps in the area. So if anything, boat ramp users or if the parking capacity is taken up, there's other opportunities. They just might drive a little bit further. But this is seen as more your local neighborhood kind of launch for your smaller vessels. So we think it matches the
good match, good fit.
We think so. The second project, which again I mentioned earlier, is the Liberty Street Marina. So going into a little bit more about this one. So we did receive a fine grant. What year was that one? 2018. But if you recall back then, soon after we got the process, we had applied for it and were waiting on it. DIA put out an RFP for a redevelopment of that Fort on Bay, which they included the marina or the potential marina basin area. So not to conflict with that, we were asked to hold off. So we lost some time to move forward. So we finally got the green light to move forward. We just moved forward with what we call preliminary design, and that generated this concept here. So it's roughly 50 slips with a variety of different size vessels, with addition of supporting a water taxi landing spot and potential tour operators. Because this, if you recall, immediately to the west is the Hyatt, immediately to the right is the Berkman, and then immediately to the north is the old courthouse site that is intended to be redeveloped into a mixed use. Something, I guess, to be determined. but there's definitely a high interest by DIA to make it integrate in some way. What that also includes is a marina building at that northeast corner. You see that square with an X on it? So because we don't really have any additional land surrounding, you know, the street, you know, there's streets that box this out, and then the Riverwalk wraps around this as well. This concept envisions that it would actually be pile supported on the dock system in that corner where it's already low anyway. So that's the vision for that. We also included fueling. That's something DIA was very supportive of doing here. So I think it's a good mix of both local users and visitors and looking at the potential of tourism opportunities and as well as supporting, you know, local events and things. So again, this is the concept that we've developed through the initial preliminary design, and we'd like to move it forward to a full-fledged design and permitting. And this cost is based off of an RFP we put out, and that's a real cost for going through the design. So it seems high, but it's a significant project in a significant area.
Let me ask you a question. On the north side of this, between the basin and Courthouse Drive, is that 55 feet of what? Is that on pilings, or what is that? 55, it says 10-foot clear on this end. 55, that strip of land or dock or whatever on the northern corner of this design. What is that?
So that is just the most shallow area of the basin. So that 55 clear, that just that limits our need to dredge in that area and gives a little protection to that existing bulkhead without having to dredge right up against it.
But it's on pilings.
What's that?
It's basically a dock, what you're telling me. It's on pilings.
There's riprap and then water, and then the dock is to the south.
Correct, yes. Right. So you access from that northeast corner, come down through the boathouse, through a controlled access point, and then the dock system either will take you to the west over the water or due south along Liberty Street on the dock as well.
Where are the opportunities to have a boat show, a charity event, a poker run? Where are the opportunities for land display and access for people to come there by land, like to display boats and whatever?
Well, we still have Metro Marina. I mean, so that's not going away. That's traditionally been a host of boat shows. There, you know, certainly could be some opportunities here as well.
This will still be the design that the waterfront itself will have a frontage that's public. In other words, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, but the design of the improvements of the uplands will not, there'll be a buffer between the water and if it's a condo or a multi-use or whatever.
Okay.
That public access is going to be along that, where now it's actually called
Courthouse Drive.
Courthouse Drive.
So Courthouse Drive is probably going to go away.
Well, not necessarily.
So there's a, on all downtown water locations, there's a 25-foot easement off the bulkhead for Riverwalk.
Okay.
And then vegetation and our plantings and amenities from a Riverwalk standpoint.
Okay.
So that's what's going to happen on that north side. And that area that kind of is that 55-foot clear is kind of a mucky area that could never get dredged out anyway. And so the design of this is kind of to be naturally circulating and clean itself out, so we don't have as many marina dredge issues and or sediment issues.
Okay. I understand that, but I guess if I'm hearing Jim Super correctly, there will be opportunities for some kind of commerce or display or whatever to the north of this.
And on the east side, so the Berkman Plaza parking garage.
Yeah.
And there's a cul-de-sac that's, you can see there, that's already in existence. So there's a 25-foot river walk and then a full cul-de-sac and then another river walk on that other side. So surrounding all of that basin is 25-foot easements and roads on either east and west sides. So there's a lot of opportunity to close off kind of those cul-de-sacs and or ends to create.
That's where I was going.
Environment, especially in front of the Hyatt.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'm sorry, Brian. Do you remember where you left off?
No, I think again, you know, this is still very fluid. Where, you know, once we jump into a full fledged design, I'm sure will be some tweaks to this as it moves forward and we get additional input by the site characteristics as well as what DIA. This is just kind of a placeholder for what we've envisioned for now and would like to be the launching point for the rest of the design.
Okay, thank you.
Can you,
Commissioner Parker?
If you wouldn't mind, remind me what our anticipated boat usage is here, short-term, long-term, leasing, first come, first serve. Remind me what our vision is for that.
So the direction we've been given, this will be a first come, first serve, with some slots reserved for tour operations and the water taxi landing. We don't see this as long-term slip rental area. That's not what it's envisioned to be.
The same rules as Metro.
We have a
similar.
Maybe a little longer durations.
Okay.
So, like,
okay,
2 weeks, 3 days, what do we have a vision?
Like five days, isn't it?
That's a vision that hadn't been determined.
Yeah, we haven't looked that way yet.
Okay. Yeah, well, I didn't think we had. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, I think those policies, those will be decided in the future. But, from the direction we've been given is that these won't be like, you won't get a year, lease on a slip or even 6 months or anything to those kind of terms. It's not meant for... live at the Berkman to
it may be up to 30 days or something. So like if someone wanted to come in there by boat and spend a couple of weeks at the Hyatt and spend more than just 3 days, a week or 2 weeks or all that, I think is what the anticipated discussions that I've heard is that absolute numbers hadn't been told, but more than a 72-hour operation, and plus it's going to be full service, where it's...
So
gotcha. I see that. Nice.
And ship store and
so we're comfortable justifying it as public and not kind of leased and off limit. So
public.
Good.
Right, yeah. And to that point, the Berkman Marina is available for that kind of use, right around the corner
around
there.
The corner,
so.
Yeah. Right.
Any other questions about this particular project?
Nope. Go ahead.
So now we're moving on to new projects that haven't been before for find. First up is Pottsburg Creek, the Beach Boulevard boat ramp. You may recall we've talked about this off and on over the past few months in Waterways Commission meetings. We had a failure at this ramp where the end of the ramp snapped off. There was a variety of issues. There's drainage trouble in the parking lot, which led to boat ramp or bulkhead issues with holes, and then which led to erosion underneath the end of the ramp, which caused the end of the ramp to collapse. So this project envisions to address everything and get this into fully functional. If you go out there today, we made it. We put some, we made it functional, but it's not ideal and it's not a long-term fix. But we did. Replace the bulkhead, replace the boat ramp itself, and address drainage issues, which could get kind of complicated if you've ever seen that site and how DOT's roadway drains into the area. So there'll be some discussions there. So trying to address a whole bunch of issues with the goal of making this another reliable, well-maintained boat ramp.
And I'll have to say, your department really acted quickly when there was a problem at that boat ramp. The neighbors were very upset, and they got much happier very quickly. So I really appreciate it. It was really great.
Yeah, it's a team effort of all of us and the staff out in the field. And this was we were trying to get it done quicker, but we always err on the side of caution. We don't want to say it's good to use without us putting hands on it and making sure. We
can. I know Captain Suber's department was right on it. What's next?
So this is for design permitting of those replacements. So we've got a comfortable, we feel it's a comfortable cost there to proceed with that. Just to note on this particular project, there is CIP funds it's in, I think it's a fifth year. Yeah, fifth year. So, and our hope is that once we finish this, then there may be an opportunity to bump those funds up, or if not, then we can also apply for the construction funds through FIND and use that as match. So we've got some flexibility there. But the city council's already recognized as this as a need. Next two projects on our list are two bulkhead replacement projects. This first one is at Mike McHugh Boat Ramp. This is there in Jacks Beach next to Beach Marine and the Dockside Restaurant. Very, very popular boat ramp on the Intercoastal Waterway. And this, you can see there's a representative example continually have to fill in voids behind the wall as it continues to lose material. And so there's undoubtedly enough failures where it's now time to go ahead and invest in this important facility and go ahead and replace the whole bulkhead. So this would be for the design permitting phase. It's about 600 linear feet. That we've estimated at this point.
Okay.
Similarly, the other one just up the Intercoastal Waterway at Oak Harbor. Again, the bulkhead is got some failures, and we feel it's time to go ahead and schedule this one for replacement as well. You're probably aware we have a current FIND grant to dredge the access channel, so that's that project is will be starting soon. So we want to make sure that again we're investing in the long-term maintenance. Costly project, so it's good to plan ahead before we've got a complete failure and try to scramble. So if we get an early enough start, we can use the grant to share this cost with us.
Okay.
And the last project on our staff recommended list is the Thomas Creek Fish Camp Adaptive Kayak Launch. So again, this was one that was raised by a citizen request at Waterways Commission, if you recall. A gentleman with his family came and they liked to paddle in this waterway. And they have a difficult time. Others have voiced support and a desire to use an improved kayak launch at this facility as well. Currently, there's a boat ramp, and you can see in the photo there's an access dock. There's actually two access docks. There's one right next to the ramp, but it's a fixed structure. And this pointer doesn't show up on the screen, but. But if you see in the aerial, you've got the ramp, and then immediately on the left side of the ramp is the fixed pier access for the boat launch users. But to the left of that, you'll see a sidewalk going off to another L-shaped fixed dock. And that's what's in the image in the bottom left there. So that's what we're proposing, is using that as the attachment for that board safe design, where you have the really high end level accessible kayak launch that has transition seats and grab bars and all that to really help somebody, help people that need a higher level of access assistance. So that may require full replacement of that dock. We'll assess that during the design phase. It may not be adequate to just attach it to the existing structure, and it's fairly aged anyway. So, at the very least, I'm sure we'll have to redeck it, but we'll make sure whatever we end up doing there is going to make sure it's a successful project that will last a long time.
The current dock doesn't look like much. Can anybody tell me what the other dock looks like that's next to the ramp?
Similar to that as far as age and condition, I would say, and we're looking into manager was looking into getting some quotes on just redecking that and see if there's any other structural issues without trying to go through a grant process. We can do maintenance kind of stuff without, you know, a grant.
Does that come from boater improvement funds or is that city money?
That'd be up for Jill to decide where how she wants to pay for it.
Okay. Sorry?
It would be city side.
Okay. I just want to make sure if we're going out there, we might as well make it nice.
Certainly. Yep.
Everywhere.
Yep. And if you're not familiar, this waterway up here, you can see it's fairly narrow and windy and very natural. It's a very pleasant place to paddle, as well as, you know, go boating and fishing. But it is an attractive spot. It'd be nice to support improved kayak access for all abilities.
So that's what your recommendations are for next year?
Those are our recommendations, which are summed up on that last sheet. And you can see the breakdown of fines costs, which is 50% of the construction costs, and then COJ's costs. We always add on 10% for internal management fees and things that are not reimbursable by fine. So you always see that from year to year. So that's why the COJ side's higher than the fined board side. But then you'll see the total cost in the far column. And if you look at the bottom, the fine cost all the way at the bottom, that $1.725 million, is right about the expected cap allotment. There is not a hard cap, but that's checking with them from year to year, and that's, you know, what we – we ask more than that, then they'll, you know, they might consider us
a little greedy.
So,
but all the stuff that wasn't awarded last year, that's just gone, right? Somebody else got it.
Yes, whatever is not funded. So they always, every year, they get more requests than they have funding for. So
okay.
Some things don't get funded just because of the money won't stretch that far.
Okay.
So we usually do very well. Last year, we got everything we asked for except for that Riverview Park boat ramp project because it was ruled ineligible because we didn't have our permits in time. So
okay.
We're actually still – so the permitting's been taking longer. They've had some changes with their permitting processes, which has slowed things down at both the state and federal level. So but we got all of the other requests we submitted for last year at the full funding, so we were happy to get those. But previous years, 2 years ago, we missed. We only got one of four, I believe it was.
Okay. So I have one major question.
Sure.
Where are we on the zoo dock?
Okay. The zoo dock was one that we applied for in 2020 and was not awarded. That was one of those. So in 2020, we applied for four grants and only received one, which is the Burt Maxwell Dredge. The zoo dock and the Riverfront Park fishing platform were not funded. However, City Council was able to fund the construction of those with the reallocated match dollars from all the unawarded projects,
mm-hmm.
since City Council had already approved to, you know, match all those projects we applied for that year. We went back to City Council and said, hey, since we didn't get these, can we take what you plan to spend and pull those up and reallocate those to these projects and fund them in their entirety? And they agreed, they approved that request. So we do have funding for the zoo dock. That one out to bid like any day if it hasn't already. Riverfront Park fishing platform, that one did go out to bid. It's been awarded, and a pre-construction meeting is next week. Yeah.
So zoo dock construction should start next year?
Yeah. So we got got put out for bid, so it'll be, yeah.
Yes.
Yep. So that's, yeah, we're very excited about that one, and the zoo is very much anticipating that one as well, and they're already lining their ducks in a row so they can connect, because our project will end where it connects with the grant, with their land, and then they're on the hook for connecting it, you know, to wherever they want it on campus, so.
So that they have plans for that already?
They've got a vision,
and the money?
Yeah. And I think it's going to tie into over by, like, the Tiger Exhibit area, if I recall correctly.
Where, so Goodby's Creek dredge wasn't awarded. Is that still
That was awarded this past, this 2021.
Uh-huh.
So we did get that one this year.
Okay.
So we're in the process of executing that agreement.
Okay. Jim? Do you see anything we need to be looking at harder?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I like what they're saying.
Okay.
Yeah, and just so you know, that this list again was Jim, Jill, and myself. And this is how we typically do it. We sit down, look at what projects need to move forward, and then look at the list of alternative list needs and. Up with, when I say staff recommendation, that's the three of us, and then we get our director's blessing, and we did check in with DIA too to make sure they were comfortable moving forward with the Liberty Street project. So we've gotten all the green lights we need from our side, so we're just looking for your support, or if you've got other ideas you want to talk about, we can certainly, you know, give any more information about these other projects that are listed here, or if you have other ones that you want to throw in the mix, we're happy to talk about them.
But we pretty much, that's the money you've spent the money in your list.
That's always what I try to do is to
get it all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm trying not to steal your thunder, but I'm trying to give you what our recommendations are on how we recommend to most wisely spend the money. But if you know certainly there with there being some new design projects, if you think something is worth should be a higher priority, you know, we can certainly talk about that and your recommendations that will go to the full Waterways Commission and then ultimately through council for approval.
Commissioner Barker, do you have anything to add and do you have any ideas?
The only thing I was going to say was it looks to me like you all really have this thing, if I'm reading it right, you've got this thing spread out so that you can stage in. A lot of stuff that we can't say yes to right now, we'll be able to move in to the queue next year. You're not going to get yourself into a position, though, where we wind up with everything in the design phase or everything in the construction phase.
That's what we're trying
to
avoid.
It out a little bit?
Yeah, that happened a few years back where we applied for like 13 projects, and I think 10 of them were new designs, which you know, it's a lot of grants to write, but that's, you know, that's my problem. It's not yours. But,
it's job security.
But that just meant that there were 10 projects graduating to construction phase when – you know, construction is a lot more expensive than design, so or tends to be, and so that created a challenge. We could not fund all those projects with the grant program, and we had to get city council support to find CIP funding to basically take them off of the grant cycles and fund it another way, which is not optimal. So looking at this year's list, obviously, Riverview is a construction, so that will drop off. Liberty Street, there is $9 million in the CIP in 5 years out, so the timing should work out where once we're done with the design and permitting, when that fiscal year comes around and that $9 million is presented, we may not need to go to fine because that would it would wipe it all out
for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, not to say that we may reserve the right to consider that option, maybe phase the marina, but, you know, there's money in there 5 years out, which should line up well with the timing of this, again, because that project would not begin until basically January of 2023, go 2 years of design and permitting efforts, and then that CIP money should be there for construction phase. So that project should not be a need, I would think, because of the CIP funds for next year or the future years. Prosper Creek also has some CIP money, which, but, you know, we could, And we've got flexibility there. We could either match those dollars, or if we need to accelerate that project, we can, you know, see grant funds before the CIP dollars graduate. The other ones, you know, now we're getting to just a few projects left, so I think we can space those out in the next few years.
So you're comfortable with your ability to manage the workflow through the different
things? Yes.
Keep them moving.
Yep.
That's critical. I love that these projects hit a lot of different areas, a lot of different markets, and seem to make a lot of impact in the market. So that looks good.
Brian, should we pick an alternative project just in case one of them doesn't work out, like the Sisters Creek floating dock extension? Seems to be a $75,000 standby.
You can do whatever you choose. We have done that in some years where we had an alternative, but that, my recollection, the recommendation from the subcommittee included a backup. If there was one that was really questionable, mm-hmm. like I remember, like Chowder Ted's acquisition was one year, and we had no idea if they were a willing seller or, you know, it was for sale, but they didn't really want to sell that.
They really want to sell it.
So that's why it was smart to have a backup. Trying to think if there is other examples.
So based on your knowledge of this group that you recommended, these seem pretty well locked in.
I mean, all these are. I don't see any.
We don't have a Chowder Head scenario coming in.
No, I mean, all these Chowder should Ted. Be pretty clean. And, you know, the big question we wanted clarification was DIA was supportive of moving forward with Liberty Street, and we got that that blessing. So all the other ones, I don't foresee any issues. But, I mean, if you want to, there's no harm in adding, like, an alternative in case something falls off the list.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should go ahead and add Sisters Creek floating dock extension, because that's a high traffic area. There's all kinds of events out there. We'll just put that on the list in case something falls through. Does, I mean, that seem prudent to you, Captain Suber?
I love it.
Okay.
He likes it because he put it on the list.
Oh, you did? Oh. Should have known.
And then we can even, you know, if that one doesn't end up jumping onto the list permanently, then, you know, that could, you know, we'll make note of that one as, you know, a high priority for next year as well.
Okay. All right. Do we need to vote on this, Keeley, or just go ahead and just recommend?
Make your recommendations. It's going to be a consensus vote since there's only two.
There's only two of us. We can arm wrestle. Okay. With that said, if anybody has any more comments, is there any public comment? Okay. Is there a card or anything we need to look at? Okay, thank you. Well, with that being said, I think it's a consensus that Commissioner Barker and I go ahead and recommend the staff recommendations for the fine projects for 2022, and we'll put that to Waterways for a vote, right?
Yeah, I typically, it's always confusing because your recommendation, I think maybe the next meeting you can give a, I don't know if you want me to give a presentation or you just give a report, because it'll have to come after it gets introduced as legislation, it's going to come back through Waterways again. So in some years, they have voted on it twice, but it was kind of goofy.
So it depends on, I'll talk with Councilmember Ferraro. It will go to Waterways, and whether it will come around twice, because I think generally Waterways would like to weigh in before it gets to the city council level, even though you're the subcommittee and they trust your recommendations. I think it's probably prudent to present these to Waterways in case they want to change something or go with the alternative or something happens with Liberty Street. And that way, by the time the legislation goes before council, it's already kind of locked in, and that you wouldn't have any anticipated changes at Waterways because they've already seen it. I think if you don't do it that way, then maybe if it gets to Waterways, it could change. That's a very large body with a lot of opinions, and so you might want to get that out ahead of it. So I would make the recommendation to the Waterways Committee. They're probably going to want to see a brief presentation on all of them and let them opine before we move forward. And I know you have deadlines with regards to the legislation.
Right.
So Waterways
meets on the
10th. And we can always add this as a new business. It is a large agenda, though, so I'll let me check with Councilmember Ferraro, and I'll get with you on that. If not, it would go to, we're not meeting in December, so it would go to January, correct?
Is that difficult for your timing?
That's what I'm
January's
saying, so timing-wise. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we can add it as new business to this upcoming meeting, and I'll just confirm that with Councilmember Ferraro.
It's
two on the schedule.
Sure.
And we'll, and then that.
Looking backwards, the applications are due late March. A few weeks to put the applications together. So ideally, see we get City Council approval at the latest early March. That's a 6-week process plus MBRC. So
sure.
Yeah. So typically, we usually in November meeting is when we present the recommendations to the full commission, and then in December we usually submit the legislation to introduce, which is usually the 1st of January, I believe. So
right. Yep. So I think we can get it on the November 10th. We're going to meet on Wednesday because Thursday is a holiday. Waterways Commission.
I can okay. I can just limit it to the recommendations and not go through the whole background.
Yeah. Yes. No, I think that
this
would
is
be
good.
Your presentation
yeah.
was perfect.
This is perfect.
This is perfect.
I don't think you have to go over the other list with them.
Okay. If there's not any other comments, we'll go ahead and the meeting's adjourned.
I'll call you later, Jim.
Okay. That's fine. And then,
good luck with that.
Add the Sisters Creek
good
is
luck
on,
with
but let's just do that.
Absolutely. Anything we can help with.
All right. Appreciate that. All right. Yeah, just do that and email it to Maritza. I'll email Susan and let her know the issue with the 45 days.
Okay. So, this is the record?
Okay.
And so she's.